Where my boy Guida? Guida in here? Alright, well, I'm gonna accept this for both of us. First and foremost, you know what, man? I wouldn't be anything if it wasn't for God, so I give all the glory to God, first and foremost. None of us would be anything if we didn't have God, so you know what? This goes to God, alright? That's what I'm about. Second, family. I got my family right there, my mom and my dad. Man, that mother's a stronghold of the stronghold, if you know what I mean. Third of all, three gotta be special. I gotta make a three double, because Saba Habel is my mentor. He really turned my whole career around. He really, 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 really is a special person. I couldn't do it with my little brother, Jessica Titus, right there. I love you guys, and thank you for the award. Next year, I'm gonna be coming more awards, you know, more years, more awards. Dana, I love you guys, you know.
Back, fight fans. You are listening to Fightcasters, the Las Vegas Suns hard-hitting podcast. If you're wondering what you just listened to, that was a unconfirmed but very likely drunk Diego Sanchez accepting his award for Fight of the Year at last night's World MMA Awards.
That or he still has a few screws loose from BJ Penn.
One of the two, man.
I think he likes God, too. I think he said his name about four or five times.
So apparently Diego thanks God. He thanks his family, which is the stronghold of the stronghold. That was my favorite part of it.
Everybody call your mother and tell her just how much of a stronghold she is. Just please do.
So Diego Sanchez walks home with Fight of the Night awards from the 2009 World MMA Awards. Lots of different awards going out last night. In a fairly sloppy, at least from the production side, awards banquet. This thing had a few problems. Real simple stuff, too. Misspellings of names, mispronunciations of names, awkward silences where you knew that somewhere in the back someone was like, no, this is next, this is next, no, this is next. And so everyone's kind of sitting there waiting for the next step in the show. So, but, you know, it was the first time they had done it to this magnitude. I can't hate on it completely. There was a lot of great fighters there. So that was, you know, that was one of the best parts, just to get everybody together. Look back on some of the best things of 2009. Real quickly, let's just announce some of the awards. There were 19 of them. We won't name them all. Really cool Special Lifetime Achievement Award goes to Charles Mask Lewis. He was the co-founder of Tap Out. He died this year in March in a car accident in California. So pretty emotional. The other two co-founders of Tap Out, and really, his best friends got up there. It was an emotional moment because anybody who knows Charles Lewis, he was a pretty good, great guy. It always seemed like he was in a great mood. Dana White, how did he describe him? One of the most positive individuals I've ever met in my life. So that was cool to see. Fighter of the Year, George St. Pierre, Ring Girl of the Year. Of course, that means a lot to everybody. Ariana Celeste. Best promotion, UFC. Leading man of the year, Dana White. Breakout fighter of the year, Brock Lesnar. Female fighter of the year, Cyborg Santos. And trainer of the year, Greg Jackson. So that was just some of them. If you want to check out the rest, it's actually airing on cable on the Versus Network January 6th, 7th, and 9th. So if you missed it, take a look. By the way, I'm Brett Okamoto for the Las Vegas Sun. Never introduced myself, but like I said in a previous podcast, these people know who I am by now, right? Joined today by Ryan Green. How you doing, Ryan?
Good. And you know, for those of you who are going to tune in when it airs on Versus, don't go in with these grand expectations of this, fine-tuned production like a Grammys or an Emmys or an Oscars. These are professional athletes. Look, we saw it with the NHL Awards here in Vegas in June. Professional athletes are not made to be in tuxes presenting awards and making jokes and staying sober.
Hey, man, I think Diego had the right idea.
Yeah.
I think Diego had the right idea. That was the best acceptance speech all night.
It's gonna make people take notice of your award show.
Yep. And
let's be real.
and you're gonna see it. I've looked on the internet. I was actually
YouTube sensation.
I was actually at the awards last night, and I gotta agree with a lot of people who were writing that the You know, it was kind of a it was very rough around the edges. The jokes were not the greatest. There was some people who were having trouble reading the teleprompter, so you know that you'd see them kind of squint, and then they'd kind of give up and just say, "All right, the nominees are," like, it had that feel to it. But yeah,
it served its purpose.
It wasn't all bad, yeah. You know. I mean, you got to know what it's going to be like when you go in. But like Ryan said, if you're going to watch it on Versus, go in with that in mind. Moving along to the event this weekend, UFC 108, this Saturday at the MGM Grand. The card that they're calling cursed because, you know, as everybody well knows, tons of fighters have gone out with just not only injuries, but injuries due to strange things. You know,
I'm expecting to see you come back on Saturday night in crutches.
You know, maybe I should start wondering, because it's not only the fighters. UFC matchmaker Joe Silva has somehow torn his MCL in this process.
Take out a life insurance policy, just for good measure.
Everybody is going down who's associated with this card. You know, and like I said, weird stuff. I mean, Carlos Condit, you know, was supposed to be on this thing, and he's not on there now because he cut his hand in his garage when he went to go grab a piece of sheet metal. I mean, it's just like that kind of stuff. It's like, wait, what? What happened to Carlos Condit? But Ryan, you seem to think that this is still a good card, and I would agree with you. You know, this you look up and down the lineup, and we're not talking about scrubs. I mean, I'm excited to see Paul Daly fight. British striker came in and beat Martin Kamen at 103. He's fighting Dustin Hazlett, who hasn't fought for over a year because he had an injury himself to his right knee. It had torn ACL. You know, and that's not it. Junior Dos Santos, very exciting fighter to watch. Martin Kampman is on the card, trying to rebound from that loss to Paul Daly. You know, Mike Pyle, a local guy. Same with John Gunderson. They both train over Extreme Couture, and
you know, you
there's still plenty of to look for.
Yeah,
on this
you
fight.
Mentioned earlier comparing it to 106, in kind of the sense that, you know, injuries to in the main event. I mean, coincidentally, the same main event. You know, it kind of takes off the luster for a lot of those casual fans that the UFC still is trying to rope in. You know, the people read about and hear about a guy like Brock Lesnar and want to see him fight, and they know about an Anderson Silva and want to see him fight. And, you know, when those guys go away, you're probably going to lose those fringe fans. But, you know, I think for the true fans that really know their stuff, it sounds like are really going to enjoy this because there's quality from top to bottom.
Yeah, and I mean, the UFC is so deep that they're going to be able to put together a card. And it's unfortunate because on any given night, some of the prelims are going to be great fights. You know, you don't buy a pay-per-view because you look down and on the prelims and you're like, oh, yeah, I like that guy. You buy it for the main event. And in that sense, this has kind of lost something because Rashad Evans, Thiago Silva is a great co-main event. I still think it's a great main event. But, you know,
When you were expecting something else, though.
Not when you're expecting something else, and plus when there's nothing to go along with it. I mean, like I said, I'm excited to see Paul Daly take on Dustin Hazlett, but when you hear that, you don't think of a co-main event fight, you know, and I think everybody would agree with that. You know, I think Dustin Hazlett and Paul Daly would probably agree with it. You know, they weren't going to be in this situation from the start, but that's how things happen sometimes. I mean, this card was going to have Anderson Silva, you know, fighting Vitor Belfort for a championship, and you know, I don't think it shows anything that the UFC isn't capable of putting together good cards. I just think that this one was unfortunate from the start. And
how can you be disappointed when a guy whose nickname is Christmas is on the card now? Come on.
That is true. Jacob Volkman is on the card, nicknamed Christmas. That's one of the best. You know why that is?
Oh, yeah, because he looks like Lloyd Christmas from Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
He truly does.
You know who else is on the card? McLovin. Dustin Hazlett is nicknamed McLovin because of the guy on Superbad.
They do have a little bit of a resemblance, or what's I don't know that I see it.
I don't really see it either.
Or maybe, you just like the movie?
Maybe if you're stretching, I don't know. I think it's more the way he acts.
Okay,
that's what I've heard. But so if you're into that, go ahead and buy the pay per view. I mean, I think it's a great main event, but you know, it's just when people are going to spend $50 to see a pay per view, they want to see two or three big name stars in two or three fights. But
do you think? I wanted to ask you this too. Do you think maybe some of those fans who might not normally purchase pay-per-views and may have been lost on this one with all the injuries, were maybe spoiled a little bit by UFC 100, you know, just because that card was so deep, and maybe the people that got hooked on the UFC at UFC 100 pretty much expected that, oh, this is what it's like every event. And do you think people maybe kind of got spoiled a little bit in the sense of that when there really isn't a list of massive potential main events on every card, they're like,
Maybe.
You know, I wouldn't be shocked by that, but I mean, like you said, people are still going to buy it.
I guess I don't have a strong opinion on that one. I could see it both ways. Like you said, I mean, maybe the newer fans who were drawn to it by UFC 100, they're like, oh, you know, I've heard so much about this, I'll give it a shot, and then that's what they liked.
And they saw a great card that night.
Maybe. I could see it in that sense. But, you know, really, UFC cards are always, you know, hit and miss. Mm-hmm. I mean, some are going to be better than others. That's just how it is. I think one thing that's definitely hurting them right now is Brock, you know? I mean, Brock, this is going to be the second event that he was supposedly going to be in. I mean, after he had pulled out of 106, immediately the rumors were 108. And now you don't know if the guy's ever going to fight again. So I think that that's one thing that's kind of, you know, lugging this whole thing down. Because not only is Brock gone, you don't know what's going on with the heavyweight division. Mm-hmm. There's no championship to fight for right now. You know, and that's one of the most dynamic divisions currently in the UFC, between Cain Velasquez, Frank Mir, Shane Carwin, you know, even who am I missing? Antonio Nogueira. Yeah. And then even some of the other guys that are working their way up. I mean, Todd Duffy, we kind of forgot about him since he's been injured, but he had, what was it, 7-second knockout over Tim Hegg. So he's going to find his way up there if he wins another one or two fights, especially in that kind of fashion. You got Junior Dos Santos. I mean, it's a great division, and until people find out what's happening with Brock, it's kind of like at a standstill. You know, it's unfortunate. But getting to Saturday's event itself, let's talk about this main event. I think it's a great fight, like I said. Rashad Evans didn't win a fight in 2009. That kind of busts your brain when you first hear it.
He only fought once.
He only fought one time, but like he's been a big name in it, you know, because of the whole Rampage thing, the TV show. He entered the year as an undefeated, you know, light heavyweight champion. And to hear him say it himself was kind of weird. He's like, you know, yeah, I didn't want to fight in 09, and I'm mad about that, you know. And it was tough that I didn't get a chance to redeem myself in 2009 after losing to Machida in the way he did. So I think Rashad Evans is going to be very focused. And he's not facing a slouch, man. Thiago Silva, one loss, also to my boy, Machida.
Your lookalike.
So, I mean, this is going to be a great fight. And what do you think? You know, there have been some questions asked to Thiago. The guy doesn't speak a ton of English, so it's hard to really sit him down and you know, get a lot out of him. But one of the questions that's been asked to Thiago is, do you feel like you're being overlooked right now because of the talk of, you know, Rashad and how he lost his belt and his feud with Rampage? Do you think that Thiago, does that give him a little bit of extra motivation? He says it doesn't, but how would you feel in his situation?
No, I think I definitely would, because you know, you look at the reasons why so many other people are getting talk in the light heavyweight division, and it's not necessarily because of, you know, who's better. It's you know, the beef between Rampage and Rashad. It's because of the controversial, you know, decision between Shogun and Machida. And it's there's so much politics, I guess, political stuff, I guess, which is creating such a stir in light heavyweight, where this guy is one of the best pure strikers that the division has, and probably one of the best fighters the division has, and I think he might be getting overlooked there. But it seems like, you know, I guess there's two types of people. There's people that are going to use that as motivation. There's people that are just going to keep the eyes on the prize, and, you know, I trust him if he says he's not kind of...
Yeah, the one thing about Thiago's personality is it seems like he's here to fight. He's not, I mean, when he's sitting there and he's not getting questions asked to him, they're all going to the other guy, I think that makes him more comfortable. You know, he's just the type of guy who wants to sit there, he wants to get to fight night, and he wants to get in the octagon and do his talking there.
He doesn't like the frills.
Exactly. So, I mean, I don't think that he's necessarily feeling, I mean, because when it comes down to it, who cares? Who cares if people are overlooking at you? Who cares? Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, Thiago, if he beats Rashad Evans, he's going to be up, you know, and he's going to be one of the next challenges to the belt, I got to believe. You know, I mean, this guy he hasn't faced some of the bigger names that some of the other light heavyweights have, but he's finished 13 of the 15 opponents he's faced, you know, in his professional career, and that speaks for itself. And, you know, he's got to be getting up there, and this is a big opportunity for him to beat Rashad Evans. And
it's a big opportunity to get a shot potentially at Machida again.
Yeah, it is. I mean, this is one of those fights where Dana White says it has big implications on the next title shot. It does, because these two guys are both really high up in the mix. That said, how do you see the fight going? Personally, I think everybody thinks the same way I do. I don't see either of these guys trying to take this thing to the ground. Evans has the wrestling capabilities. Silva has the jiu-jitsu capabilities. But these guys both believe in their stand-up. And I think they're both going to be comfortable to slug this one out. What do you think?
I agree. And I think we're both kind of on the same wavelength in thinking that Evans probably comes out on top in this one. I don't know. I just think it seems to make sense that he comes out winning this one. And then I think he gets I think he's going to get a shot at Rampage either way. And I'd like to see him get another shot at Machida. I really would, because just hearing him talk about his mentality, not only after that fight, but even going into it, I'd like to see him get another shot at it. I really would.
So straight to predictions. Ryan Green, you're trying to get out of here? You got some place to go?
No. Not at all.
You were guessing Rashad Evans. Do you have a theory of how and when?
I know. Well, you start this one off, because I know I've heard you talk about yours before, and I think we're kind of in agreement there too.
It sounds like it, because I do believe that Rashad's going to win. I think he's going to come into this fight pretty cautious. If there's one thing we know about Thiago Silva, he's got knockout power. He doesn't have to get his hands on you a lot to end your night, and so I think Rashad is going to feel him out a little bit. But I think he's just more well-rounded. I think his stand-up is a little bit crisper and more technical than a guy like Keith Jardine, who was knocked out by Silva mm-hmm. in his last fight. And so I see Rashad winning it, and I see him doing it in the second or third round.
I was gonna say probably the third, and I'll go with you. I'll say TKO.
TKO for Rashad. So me and Green, we agree on the first one. Let's move on to the next one: Dustin Hazlett versus Paul Daly. Dustin Hazlett was supposed to fight on the 106 mm-hmm. card, but his opponent, Carol Parisian, dropped out for, you know, personal issues. Now he's out of the UFC. But Hazlett gets another chance, and which is good for him, because he's been out for a year. He had the torn ACL in his right knee, had to get surgery. He was out for 5 months because of it. So really looking forward to getting back into the octagon, and he's got a good opponent. Paul Daly is the co-main event. Both these guys are going to treat this like a big opportunity for them. Because when you're the co-main event, you know, a lot of eyes are watching, and it's a chance to, you know, to make a statement. Mm-hmm. And Paul Daly is new to the UFC. He's already made a statement by beating Mark Cannon at UFC 103. And it's a classic striker versus grappler. You know, Daly's going to look to keep his standing at all costs. That's what he's going to do against anybody. And he's a pretty vicious striker. And mm-hmm. I'm excited to see this fight. Striker versus grappler. Which way do you lean?
I always go with the grappler.
Really?
I always do in those matchups, just because I think it's the higher percentage, or it's the better percentage. It's the layup as opposed to the 3-point jumper. I'll go with Hazlett.
You think? See, what's tough about the grappler situation when they're facing a striker is they've got to get him to the ground first, and so then you got to look at a striker's takedown defense. Mm-hmm. I think Paul Daly is pretty decent at it. You know, I think that, I mean, he was able to do it against Cammon. Cammon didn't try too often. I think he made a shot on him twice. Paul Daly defended it, and I like it, though, because we're going against each other. I'm going all the way Paul Daly. When I looked at this matchup, I figured the books would agree with me. I kind of thought Paul Daly would be the clear favorite. He's got more wins on his record. He's electric, and I think I think money's going to come in on him. I don't see it coming in on Hazlett, even though Hazlett won four of his last five fights, but then he was out for a year.
Yeah.
So I was surprised, but the books have this. At least MGM has it, even money on Paul Daly and -120 for Hazlett as a favorite, which I was shocked by.
So Daly's a good value play, is what you're saying.
Well, I hate to tell people how to spend their money, especially since I don't win that much at the books. But I really
it's worth a thought.
I really feel strongly towards Daly. I gotta be honest. Moving on, man. Let's see, Joe Luzon versus Sam Stout. Mm-hmm. What do you think of that one?
Who are you taking?
You know, I'm gonna take Joe. He's a slick jiu-jitsu guy. And he's shown that he has knockout power in his hands. If he has his preference, he's going to take you down. He's going to submit you. But I think he's pretty well-rounded. Sam's a good fighter. You know, he's actually brother-in-law with Sean Tompkins, the trainer who lives here in Las Vegas. But he hasn't been able to get it going in the UFC yet. 3-4 in the UFC, has yet to win back-to-back fights. He came off of a good win over Matt Wyman at UFC 97. He looked good in that fight. Wyman is a good opponent. A lot of people don't know him, but he was on the Ultimate Fighter, fighting out of Denver, Colorado. He won his last fight. And I think Sam Stout is a great fighter. I think Joe's just the better one in this
one. I'll go with the trend too and take Lizone.
All right, and let's do the rest of these pretty quick. Jim Miller versus Dwayne Ludwig. Who do you got?
Dwayne Ludwig.
Yeah, I'm gonna actually agree with you. I'm gonna take Dwayne in that one. And then Junior Dos Santos, the heavyweight bout. Junior Dos Santos versus Gilbert Ivel. Ivel, if you don't know, kind of a character. He's been in trouble before. He got a one-fight license by the Nevada State Athletic Commission in October when they previously denied him in 2007 because he punched out a referee in one of his fights. He's got a bit of a temper. He's covered in tattoos. They all are, but that doesn't mean anything. But he just looks like...
He's the bad boy.
He looks like a guy that'll bite your head off. And he's a good fighter. 36-13-1 overall professional record. Making his UFC debut, Dana White said that it was his call to bring this guy in. And they're feeding him to the lions, man. Junior Dos Santos, he's 3-0. He's been rolling over, guys. You got any faith in Ivel?
No, I'm taking that.
All right.
I'll take the wild card too often.
Yep, I'm taking Dos Santos as well. And then Martin Kampman versus Jacob Christmas Volkman. Who do you got?
I wasn't too impressed with Volkman his last time out at 106. I'm going to go with Kampman.
Yeah, and you know what? He's taking this fight on short notice, really, as a lot notice of these guys are, because
he got really convincingly whooped at 106.
Yeah, he just seemed like a guy that, I mean, I think he went into survival mode against Paulo Thiago.
Yeah.
And that's why you weren't seeing much out of him towards the second and third round, because he got knocked down in the first. He couldn't get Thiago to the ground, and I think he got frustrated early, and then he just went into survival mode where there wasn't a lot of offense, and there was just clinching and trying to survive.
However, the dude does have the best advertisement on his shorts, on his trunks, out of any UFC fighter.
Which one is that?
He is a chiropractor by trade, and he has a Volkman chiropractic advertisement on the right side of his trunks.
Really?
It is truly priceless.
I didn't see that.
I have a keen eye for these minor, pointless details.
Well, you know, that I bet the fighters are loving you saying that they see that, because that means more promotions for him. I've never noticed one.
I happened to notice it when he was pinned up against the cage for about a good 30 seconds. So,
next fight: Cole Miller versus the younger brother Dan Lizone. Who do you got?
I'm gonna say a sweep for the Lizones.
I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to go sweep with the Lizones. And you know what? His older brother Joe already beat Cole Miller, so we'll see if younger brother can follow in his footsteps. Mark Munoz versus Ryan Jensen. Munoz, it's hard to go against this guy because he's been training over there with that camp of the Nogueiras and Silva. Mm-hmm. And
you saw what that did for Little Nug. So.
I mean, you see what that does for everybody, man. It just seems like Ed Soares is walking out of the cage with a winning fighter like every 5 minutes at these UFC events. So it's hard to go against Mark. I'm going to pick Mark over Ryan Jensen on Saturday. What about you?
I will too, even though as much as I hate to go against a fellow Ryan.
And then Las Vegas fighter Mike Pyle going against Jake Ellenberger. Excuse me. Ellenberger 0-1 in the UFC. Pyle 3-1. The only loss he had was when he took a bout at UFC 98 on short notice. I like Pyle, man. I saw him in the gym maybe about a month ago, and he looked huge. I think I talked about this in a previous podcast. I mean, the guy looks ready to go. He looks motivated. He's had a long career, but I think he's looking at this as his opportunity to really make a name for himself. I mean, he's always been one of those fighters that's well known in the fighting community. He works over there with Extreme Couture and really helps a lot of those guys, you know, develop their game and move on and do big things. And I think that it's Pyle's time now. I'm picking him over Ellenberger.
I will too. Absolutely.
Wow, lots of agreeing on this one.
I'm just riding your coattails at this point.
And Rafael Oliveira versus John Gunderson, another local boy. Which one are you taking on that?
I'll take Rafael Oliveira.
All right, finally, we get to end it on a disagreement, because I'm going to take Gunderson. And so that is it on UFC 108. Sorry to the fans. if they wanted to see some of those other bigger fights. But, you know, don't worry. 2010 is a new year. Those guys will be back and fighting again. And before we drop off, I got to ask you, what do you think about this Manny Pacquiao, Floyd Mayweather situation? Golden Boy Promotions has reserved, or requested, I guess, March 13th date at MGM. That would seem like a pretty good sign that this fight is going to happen. But then again, they could just be reserving it and then letting it all fall through. Obviously, if you're listening to this podcast, you're a fight fan, you are aware that Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather Jr. are good boxers. Everybody wants to see them fight.
Those are the only two people anybody wants to see in a ring together right now.
But there's problems because Floyd Mayweather wants Olympic-style drug testing, and Manny Pacquiao says, who are you to ask me to submit to Olympic-style drug testing? I don't enjoy needles poked into my body, especially days before the fight, and so I'm not going to do it. What do you think of all this? Do you think it's all crap? Are these guys fighting on March 13th and everybody just needs to stop reading about this stuff until it happens?
Absolutely. I think it's one of those fights that people are so excited for and so want to see that they're just willing to make a big deal out of just about anything. And I think if this was any other fight, it's not a huge deal. And I think when all is said and done, there's too much money on the table for this not to happen. And I think that's pretty much a unanimous agreement.
Yeah, I will agree. I believe these two will meet on March 13th. And I don't know if this has all been the promoter's hands. I think maybe some of it has just been, but no one looks good. That's the thing, you know? I mean, this fight was big enough, mm-hmm. I thought at least. Maybe I don't know what I'm talking about, but this fight seemed big enough. And I don't know, I mean, how many more people are you getting because of this stuff?
Yeah,
and
maybe they're just, that's their twisted way of trying to squeeze a few extra dollars out of this.
But, you know, even if that's the case, people are still looking at this situation and saying, this is what's wrong with boxing. What if these two don't fight each other? You know, this is what's wrong with boxing. They got too many people, you know, that are involved, and it's too difficult to get something together. I mean, this should be a done deal by now. What is going on? Now you got one of them suing the other one. Like, this is just a mess, you know? So it's been funny to read some of the boxing writers, especially these guys that have been writing about it for so long, you know, calling out everybody, you know, Oscar, Bob Arum, Richard Schaefer, everybody, you know, it's like, just stop it. Stop it and fight, you know? So hopefully next week podcast we'll be talking about how the deal is done and we will be previewing that fight for March. So thanks for listening, guys. Tune in next week for another edition of Fightcasters. Bye.